News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
You know what? I think I'm just going to read the script. Good morning and welcome to the El Paso History Radio Show. Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
Welcome back to chaos.
Oh, you didn't read your script. It says,
oh, I'm sorry. Howdy, et cetera. Good to be here.
How long can we keep this up?
Okay, who are these script writers we're paying these big bucks for?
Well, we never read them anyway. But it's another radio show, KTSM AM 690. And it's always about El Paso area history, and today's no different. And we do Saturday mornings, and so
That's right.
An unusual bit of history and radio at the same time. And I think we do this as just at the right time because people in El Paso were never taught their own history in this town or the region, really.
That's right.
And if they learned it, they probably went to private school.
Well, they
I'm
did.
Serious.
Well, private school or their parents got them out there and got them involved. You know, there's a lot of different ways, but we're helping expand that history for everyone.
And it's on 690, obviously, but where else?
I want you to know that while we were out in Southeast Texas, we were expanding the gospel of El Paso History Radio Show.
Oh, yeah. How'd we do?
We got some new listeners. We got Pam Green, who's with Advantage Real Estate in Brenham, Texas. We got Adam Arnold over there. He's the site superintendent at Washington on the Brazos. We got James Wimbley, general manager at the 602 on Main and Bastrop.
Did you collect money for this?
No. They all want to listen. And we got Diana Greenwood. She's at Bastrop Visitors Center. And they all were fascinated with our talking about a radio show
cool
it was.
They're probably jealous because not very many have their own radio show about their history.
They were just amazed that a city would do something like this. Or not a city, but that people would do something like this for their own regional history.
I tell you who it was. It was the management of KTSM many years
ago
before it got sold to Clear Channel, before it got sold to iHeart. And we're still grandfathered in here. I'm in my 18th year of doing this, and I'm a new kid.
Yeah, and Bill's thumbs up to Bill behind us.
And he was the one who did it. So anyway, we got the trivia questions today?
We do. We have $20 in gift certificates to Pepe's in Canutillo for their wonderful New Mexican food, or an El Paso Gold DVD, of which we have a gazillion here in a bag, which I didn't even pull out.
I made sure we stocked that back up. I know there's Cristo Rey in there.
Oh, ghost stories, which everybody loves.
Oh, number
historic
four.
Historic sites. About Cristo Rey.
Ghost 3 is in there also.
Oh, Ghost 3. We haven't had that one.
That is a weird one.
That's the weird. They're all
it really is. But so we'll give that stuff
away.
We'll
get all that stuff.
Our Pepe's.
Yeah, if you've got the right answer to the question.
They call us up. We give them stuff, and it works out well.
We got some fun ones today.
A lunch at Pepe's. For those who care to go to Pepe's today, I think I'll make it out there. But
I will make it today.
You're going to make it?
Yes, because it's Bernie's birthday, so we're gonna light up a tortilla for him.
So happy Bernie to you.
Yes.
Anyway, so lunch at Pepe's, that's good. Now, let's talk about the history here. Because El Paso is in the middle of a whole lot of history.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a number of things that have hit the fan here over the years that have been incredibly unusual. And the space race is one of the most unusual things. El Paso was connected initially because all the guys that were shooting rockets from the German crowd, they lived at Fort Bliss.
That's right.
But then they went up to White Sands and lit those things off. And then after years and years, they did more stuff and ended up with a museum out there. In Alamogordo, New Mexico, there is a museum called the New Mexico Museum of Space History. We have their director.
Yes, he's
voluntarily here, but we have the director in captivity for 2 hours.
Yay.
Our guest to describe the museum and the history it houses, his name is Chris Orwall. Hey, Chris.
Chris.
Hey, it is great to be here.
Welcome.
Pause for effect.
Pause for effect.
I'm reading the script here, yes. No, yeah. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, you understand radio and TV better than most people. You've been on quite a bit.
It's been over the last 4 years, it's really been interesting. It's part of our marketing campaign is to get out there and try and get on as much TV, news, radio, and then really also a lot of the documentary stuff. And we've been on, I think now we're up to program 57, that we have done just over the last few years. So.
Well, is there, as far as space museums go, was the Smithsonian first and then New Mexico second in the order of museums?
Oh, gosh, long. Yeah, the Smithsonian's been around for quite a while longer.
But in order of space, New Mexico was first.
Well ahead. So, you know, because if you take a look at, you know, although, quote unquote, the decisions were made in Washington, D.C., so
right.
I guess you got to give them, you know, primacy
some
there.
Credit,
so,
yes.
But, but in any case, though, you know, when you take a look at the firsts in space, this region is where all those firsts happened. You know,
everything
most people think
here,
Florida, right? They think Texas, maybe California or somewhere
those
like that.
Those were later. Those were later.
Yeah, but that was later, you know, so all of the firsts really was when, you know, had White Sands Proving Ground out here, and even some of the stuff just happening in the region, you know, at the air base at that point in time, you know. So, and it's really, in fact, actually, it was just, good grief, I think a week and a half ago, I was actually out at the V-2 launch sites out on the missile range, the original one, standing there inside the blockhouse and out there on the launch site where it actually happened, you know. So just taking some folks out there on a tour.
Do you remember the story of one of the very first V-2s they launched and it went straight up?
So
they all come running out of the blockhouse to look at it.
Yep, and then they start running back.
They realize that thing's coming right back down on top of us.
Yep.
So they all started to go running back in. It actually missed them by about a half a mile or more.
Like a Three Stooges movie.
It was fairly far away, but everybody was trying to get back into that blockhouse.
Can you imagine?
Because it's got like 30 feet of concrete on top of it.
That thing is
high.
And I think that's getting turned into a museum, is it?
They are renovating it. So, yeah. In fact, actually, that's another great thing in this area. You know, the White Sands Missile Range has a museum out there and a rocket park, et cetera. They're transferring command. Over to the Army Historical Group, and so it's changing command there, and they're going to be building a whole new museum adjacent to where the existing one is, and then they'll be tearing down the old one, and all the exhibits will get renovated, et cetera. So it's going to become very high quality facility. So that's nice thing. Yeah,
they got the extra A bombs in there.
Yeah,
they got one
outside. Yeah,
they have the shell of one of them.
Yes.
It's a mock up kind of thing that's sitting outside.
That's a good thing.
Yeah,
just hit some of the headlines, like we just hit White Sands Missile Range is a biggie because in the end of World War II, the Americans went over, and so did the Russians, and took as many scientists and toys away from Germany as they could.
Yep.
They ended up with 300 rail cars full of stuff that came to White Sands.
Yep, exactly. So
how many missiles was that? Do you remember?
I do not know that number.
I think they launched about 50 or 60 out of that.
Yeah, but there was a lot more because they were using them also for research. They were using them for reverse
taking
engineering.
Them apart,
they were using them to rebuild and build you know, not just a straight up V-2 but ones that had second stages on them and etc. So, yeah, they were using for a whole lot of things and it didn't all stay here. Most of it did. When they did the research, but the paperclip and we call them the paperclip scientists, but really Operation Paperclip was one piece of a number of things that went on over there. And realistically, Wernher von Braun and his team had already made the decision that they knew they were going to end up in either the Russians, the Soviets at that point in time, or the Americans' hands. And so they really knew that they wanted to end up in the Americans' hands. The majority of them did. And so they were moving towards the American lines and ended up surrendering to a private from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, of all places.
Yeah, isn't that, I mean, that story is just a hoot to hear about the guys in the Jeeps, like all these guys, we love America. Yeah.
Yeah. So in any case, but and then came over here and became a part of, you know, our program. So,
Well, how old is your museum?
So the museum opened up in 1976 in October. So we just celebrated our 40th anniversary a couple of years ago. So we're 42 years old now, and looking forward to many, many more years to come. Now, we didn't start as a museum. We started as a Hall of Fame, the International Space Hall of Fame. And it morphed into a museum really in the 1980s is what happened there.
You know? I remember that being there, but it was called something else.
Yeah, the International Space Hall of Fame. And when you drive up there, you still see the big sign right in front of the building that says International Space Hall of Fame.
Which you still have.
Which we still house the Hall of Fame, but we're now called the New Mexico Museum of Space History. For a while, it was just called the Space Center. That was the name of the museum, and to a point, I kind of wish it had stayed that way. It's very easy to market the Space Center. It's difficult to market the very long New Mexico Museum of Space History, you know.
Well, when did it become New Mexico owned?
Oh, it was from the very beginning.
Oh, okay.
It was a state initiative, and the local folks in the area, not only from the city of Alamogordo and that area, but also the scientists and engineers and military people, all really kind of got together and took a look at this as a way to preserve the history, a way to honor the folks who, you know, did space exploration in that area and throughout the world, and also economic development. And so that's how, when they made the proposal up to the state, it really caught on fire very quickly. And the state government got behind it, the local businesses and everybody else, and that started obviously before 1976. Started back in the earlier 70s, a few years before that. But it just caught on fire, and everybody started promoting it.
It just makes total sense. The total connection, White Sands, everything else that went on there.
Well, this area, you know. So, and when we talk about it, we talk about the Tularosa Basin and everything, you know, in New Mexico in general, you know, everything stretching. Sometimes we like to say El Paso is more part of New Mexico than
I vote yes.
Really, it's kind of, you know, so although you got less taxes down here, so it's probably better for y'all. So, but
give me a chance to vote on this.
Yeah. So,
give me a chance.
But in
I'll
any case, there's so many similarities in the whole region and everything that goes on. And so many of the firsts occur in space exploration. We're all here in this area.
Well, we're a north-south economy. We're a north-south society, actually, over here. And those East Texans don't get it.
Yeah.
And they don't care about it. It's mutually okay. Texas history begins in El Paso.
Yep.
And the space history begins in southern New Mexico. Yep. And there's more that your museum has a purview of sitting up there on the side of the mountain in Alamogordo like you do. You can almost see where they popped that first nuclear bomb, no?
No, that's pretty far distant. Yeah.
But a mountain range in the way?
There's mountain ranges and just enough distance that, you know, it's really difficult to see that. So, but it's interesting that it did get Alamogordo did get associated with that first, you know, atomic bomb explosion, because it was, you know, kind of the closest reasonably large community. So it just got said that it happened in Alamogordo because the proving grounds and the base that were there, you know, kind of associated with Alamogordo as well. So everything did, and we still run the tours, you know, up there and take the buses.
Tour?
Oh, I've taken people up to the Trinity site many times.
She wants to go. I keep trying to get up there to go.
It's a bucket list kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
it is,
you know,
for
you got to get
really
up there
is.
and stand at that place, you know. So,
we're talking about is the Trinity site is the name of the location where the first atom bomb was exploded.
Yep.
In July of 45.
Mm-hmm.
What day was that?
Oh God,
16 or 20?
I forget. Yeah, it wasn't the 20th. So
okay,
I want to say 16. It's sad that I'm just blanking on it right now.
No,
you know, sometimes not every date sticks in your head.
You. I didn't prep you for these test questions. I'm sorry.
We'll stay after
class. I'm getting the trivia questions now.
The script ended earlier. No, but actually, your museum does all kinds of interesting things. You do tours up there of your warehouses.
So we, like I said, you know, for the Trinity site thing, just so your listeners know, you know, you can only get up there the first Saturday in April and October. So that's just something that everybody should really remember, because it's only 2 days a year that
you can hike across the mountains and get there, but you will be shot.
Yeah, you will be captured and or shot, you know, before you get there.
So don't do that.
It's highly classified getting out there. But yeah, we in fact actually today is one of our what we call Warehouse 1402 tours, and it's a play on the sci-fi TV series Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
And we had the address of our warehouse, where we have a large restoration shop, a boneyard of rockets, and also the storage facility. The address of it's 1402 Eddy Drive, and so we called it Warehouse 1402 tours, and it's a chance for people. I mean, a lot of folks don't realize that most museums have a lot more material than what's on display.
It's an iceberg thing. You see the tip.
You just see the very tip, you know. So, but we have we have a building adjacent to the museum where all of our stuff that needs climate control is stored in the Hubbard building there. So, and all of that is in there. And then we have a very large warehouse where larger objects are stored across town, you know, so a couple miles away.
You never have a fire sale, do you? You want to get rid of some of that?
Yeah,
no. You can't buy a V2 fan or anything?
Although there are times when museums and places like that do take pieces that you've got many duplicates of or something like that.
Yeah.
And you will generate interest and to raise revenue for, say, exhibits, storage, curatorial care and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, you never do it with one of a kind objects or anything like that.
You guys need a V2 up there, don't you?
So we've got the remains of one of the V2s that was launched.
Okay.
Out there on the facility.
Oh, when it hit the ground, you got what's left?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. So it's on display, the engine and the rocket body, et cetera. So, and it's one of the V2s that was brought over from Germany and then launched at the White Sands Proving Ground. So that's kind of a neat piece. But yeah, we want a full vertical V2 as well.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at having a replica built if I can't get an original.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, but it also at the warehouse, you've got lunar and also the Apollo missions.
Yeah,
kind of.
We've got all sorts of stuff out there. So, but yeah, one of the things we're doing, in fact, the tour today that's going on, and we do this every quarter with the 1402 tours, they're talking about the Apollo program because the 50th anniversaries of all of those missions are really starting right now. One of the neatest objects that I love out there at the warehouse is that we have one of the original concept rovers. As they were, learning how to design and build the rovers, the folks who built the final version of the rover, the version just before that is actually is in our warehouse right now, on loan to us from the Smithsonian.
Hey, and can you get a remote control for it?
No, God, it's big. Yeah. So in any case, can seat one person. But in any case, we've got it on loan so that we can restore it and then put it on display.
Give rides on that thing. Come on, man.
Yeah, if we could get people sitting on it, we could charge for that.
We get a rocket sled you can ride on, but we could.
Six wheels, and each wheel is about just over 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
I mean, they're big.
I'm ready.
They're big.
But we got to do trivia first and then take a break here. Chris Orwall is here. He's the director of the museum in Alamogordo. The New Mexico Air. What's the full?
New Mexico Museum of Space History. Like I said, not very marketable.
I know. So original.
Otherwise known as the Space Center in Alamogordo.
So be it.
All right. What trivia? You got trivia?
I got trivia. And so what you do, get $20 in gift certificates to Pepe's in Canyotillo or an El Paso Gold DVD for the correct answer. Is the first question is, what was the date the first lunar landing happened? The actual lunar landing happened.
What?
Well, when was the first date? I mean, what was the date it happened?
Oh, you're asking me that?
Yes, I'm asking you and the audience.
That's a trivia question.
Yes, what was the date the first lunar landing happened?
We've already had a call and we haven't given out the number. Is that for trivia? Is that for trivia or not? No, it's not. Okay, but what's the other question?
The second question is, name the special warehouse that houses rarely seen items from the lunar and Apollo missions.
Oh, at the museum, that numbered building
that
or whatever.
That weird wheel, okay. Yes.
And so they have to call us, but don't move away just yet. I wouldn't take the victor, but go ahead and give the number up.
Okay, 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
We're going to take Victor because he called up before trivia. There's another call. Oh, they're calling now. All right, Victor, we got you on here. What's up? Victor, where's Victor? Donde está Victor? Victor.
Richard.
It's not Victor.
Sorry.
It's Richard.
In that case, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Yeah. What's up,
dude? I've been listening for around the last 15 minutes.
Yeah,
and you're talking about rocketry and space exploration from New Mexico,
right?
The work that's been done in New Mexico, but you haven't mentioned anything about Robert Goddard.
That's coming.
We got 2 hours.
He was the original rocketeer.
That's true.
From Massachusetts that came to Roswell.
What kind of engines did he have on his rockets?
They were basic. They were mostly.
They were liquid.
Mixed with liquid oxygen.
So you've studied these things, haven't you?
Real dangerous and real primitive, and the rockets had no real guidance system, so. They kicked him out of Massachusetts because he was kind of dangerous.
He was blowing things up. That's why.
When he would lose it over the trees.
Neighbors were upset.
So he came to Roswell, and nobody ever remembers him.
Yeah. Oh, I do.
Remembered.
The German rocketeer. What's his name? Von Braun.
Right, Von Braun.
He learned most of his science, his rocket science,
from Goddard.
From Goddard's books, his writings, his manuscripts.
Well, not because
everybody gives Von Braun all the credit, but he learned it from a lot of his work from this man, Robert Goddard.
We're going to talk more about him in the rest of the show, but thank you for bringing that up. Appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Thanks, Richard.
Right. You take it easy. One line is now open at number
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
It's here. Tickets for our 2018 iHeartRadio Music Festival are on sale now. Two nights on one stage.
T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas.
There's nothing else like it. Our 2018 iHeartRadio Music Festival. Hosted by Ryan Seacrest.
This festival is insane.
While the world is listening on iHeartRadio, you can be there. Get your tickets now at iHeartRadio.com/tickets. That's iHeartRadio.com/tickets.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $150, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, you should give Physicians Mutual Insurance Company a call. 1-800-500-7616. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away, so you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. Plus, you can choose any dentist you'd like. That's right, any dentist you want. Call and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-500-7616. That's 1-800-500-7616. 1-800-500-7616.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, we're back talking on the radio here. We got Anna and Rick on hold. One line's open, 544-5876, and if you get involved, the trivia questions are coming up in a moment. We got to tell you some stuff, though, about McGoffin Home. Their historic site and visitor centers having camp on Friday, July the 6th, 9 to noon. And they're going to go put your kids in the dirt, man. They're making adobe, you know, building miniature adobe houses. Saturday the 7th, a cooking class. They're going to cook the adobe. No, they're not. Yeah. No, cooking class, they're going to cook lemon ice. How do you do that? How do you cook lemon ice?
Oh.
Ask them, because they're the ones that made this up. 533-5147. On the 11th, Wednesday, they've got another thing going on there. Fencing.
Fencing.
Take a piece of fencing.
Not fencing like around your yard, but with swads.
I thought it was like defense. Yeah. You take that big piece of picket fence and go into the stadium. No.
Yes.
What do you got?
I've got July 11th through the 13th. Kids Camp's going to be Life in the 19th Century El Paso. Kids 6 to 8 for only $60 can learn all about, you know, what it was like to live back in the 19th century, and they get to dress up and have some, you know, learn what it's like for early settlers of El Paso.
They get to use the porcelain?
We won't even go there.
You really want to learn the old days.
The old chamber pot. Yes, let's learn about that one. And when faced with what it was like to be faced with dry weather, limited resources, and the goal of building a better life. So, and the kids will be asked to solve problems like they would have had to in the day of James Wiley Joseph and Octavia McGoffin. So it'll be a lot of fun for kids. It's a great creative way for kids to spend time this summer.
You know who else is doing camps? Also, the people over at the History Museum are doing camps. We're going to have their rundown here in a little bit.
On the Archaeology Museum, But for McGoffin, give him a call at 533-5147 to get him signed up. It's inexpensive, and it's a great point. It's different for kids.
Well, I remember taking a camp as a kid. My mother put me in the art museum, brand-new art museum down there on Montana Avenue. And so we looked at all the art and said, gee whiz, what do I do about this?
You got culture.
Well, they put you in the basement with clay.
Good.
And we made stuff and put it in this little funky oven that just...
You baked your art teacher.
You come back next week, and here's your art project all looking stupid, but you gave it to your father for Father's Day. Anyway.
Made a mummy out of your art teacher.
That's what we did. All right, shall we do the trivia here?
We shall do the trivia.
Moving forward to Anna. Anna, we got you on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Anna. Okay.
I want to learn how to cook clay, too.
There you go. Put it outside in the sun.
That's right. Just put it
right
in your little...
Right now, especially, yes.
That'll be easy. Okay, the question is, what was the date of the first lunar landing on the moon?
The first lunar landing? I think I came in after that. I was...
There's a second question.
Okay, then you want to do the second question. Name the special warehouse that houses rarely seen items for the lunar and the Apollo missions.
Got a special number.
Is that the 1402?
Yes, it
That's
is.
That's the special
Woo-hoo,
number.
We got thumbs up from Chris.
We defer to our third base judge, Chris, and he says, yay.
Hey,
this is radio. He did thumbs up on the radio. That's not going to work here, dude.
The boss gave the okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
Move on.
We got you.
So you got a prize you want to
give
her?
You want Pepe's or do you want an El Paso Gold DVD?
I think I'll take the Pepe's.
You don't want to know about the ghosts at the smelter?
No. You know what? I've been to the smelter a lot of times, and I picked up a book about when they had all that. It was real. It's for people who don't know about the smelter. That's really interesting.
Oh, it's a bizarre place. We've got a video on that as well. But the one I'm talking about is a ghost video that we did at the smelter. That was more unusual than the regular video.
You see the ghosts.
Anyway, she's got Pepe's online too. There.
Thank you very much. You all have a great day.
You too.
Thank
Stay
you.
On hold.
Don't go away. Don't go away. Hold on here. And, you know, we've got another caller here named Rick. Rick is on the radio. Hey, Rick. Good morning.
How you doing today?
Hey, Rick. Well, we have one question left, and that is, what was the date of the first lunar landing on the moon?
July 20th, 1969.
Oh, what a genius. Yay! All right. Yay! Woo-hoo.
And we
copy you down, Eagle.
Yeah.
And you were there.
Were you there, Rick? Did you watch it?
Nope.
Where were you when that happened?
Where were you?
Where was I?
Mm-hmm.
I was 15 years old, and I was at band camp at West Texas up in Houston.
Oh, my God.
See, everybody knows where they were. Chris, where were you when the moon
was? I was actually in our lake. I grew up in Downey, California, where they built the Apollo Command Module, and I was actually in my living room on the floor with my chin in my hands. You know, so at that point in time, I was only 5 years old.
Well, yeah, but that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so you got yourself a prize here, Rick. What is it? We're done with Pepe's for this hour. So,
we have a gold El Paso Gold DVD.
Easy for you to say. Read off a few of those for
him. We have the gold, El Paso. Go ahead.
I'd love to have a DVD, but I don't have a DVD player.
You probably have a friend who does, and you can invite yourself over for dinner and bring a DVD.
There you go. Christmas is coming.
You can give it away.
There you go.
Hey, if you have kids that left town, give them one of these. They may show back up and look at stuff.
That sounds like a good thread, I think.
Okay.
You got Waco in there.
We got Waco Tanks. We've got the ghost stories, 3 and 4. We have, the historic sites and markers.
I know Krista Ray's in
Krista
there.
Krista Ray, yes. We have Legends of El Paso's Mountains.
Do you have the gunfighters?
Yes, I do.
Oh, it's in there.
I just pulled it out.
That's in there.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
Rick,
now you have the gunfighters,
yes,
all right?
Yes, you have the gunfighters.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for playing, dude. Anything else on your mind this morning?
Nothing really earth-shattering.
Fair enough. We'll see you at the end of the hour here. Thanks a lot. You take care. Hold on now. Cindy comes on and tells you how to do this. Thank you very much. And you know who Cindy is?
No.
Cindy Milazzo? Malazzo.
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 Say, what's in Italian? You got to throw your hands in the air.
Put
Malazzo.
Your fingers together and talk with your hands. And Cindy is in there volunteering to be call screener today. Thank you kindly.
Thank you, Cindy.
And the man doing the electrons is Mr. The Bill Toll.
Bill Toll.
Mr. Toll. I think he's more French. He's not so much Italian. I think we're all crazy. Let's go take a break.
And
Facebook is running all right.
I guess so. I'm trying to get over there.
3,757 people have seen the ad I put on there Wednesday night.
It's all his friends. They're all Chris's friends. They're shills.
They're all space cadets from New Mexico. That's who they are.
They're all Trekkies.
Plenty of those. Plenty of those.
Call us up if you think you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history.
El Paso HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Team, I recently learned that a good boss has to know how to delegate. What? That means I get to have other people do the things I don't want to do. So from now on, Tina, you'll be driving me to work. Bill, here's my laundry. Jack, talk to my wife when she calls. Remember, you have to pretend you're interested or she gets really mad. What?
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at ElPasoHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work. Network.
This is Mick Fleetwood. iHeartRadio invites you to see Fleetwood Mac live.
Going out on the road, what I always look forward to the most is getting into the full music mode and communicating with other players on stage. That's what I really, really love.
Get tickets for Fleetwood Mac's North American tour now through Ticketmaster. And see the band perform at our 2018 iHeartRadio Music Festival, September 21st.
Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Download the app or text EASY to 484848. Text EASY to 484848 to try Babbel for free. That's EASY to 484848.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, we're talking space history in southern New Mexico and El Paso, and it was El Paso connected because that's where the guys lived. And they went up the street there every day on that secret government road. And it was a secret government road out of El Paso at the time. But anyway, it's now Diana Drive, I believe. Let you know real quick that we do have a History Museum crowd doing a walk-a-thon of the deadliest gunfights of downtown El Paso. The space is limited at 6 p.m. on June the 28th, and that's coming up this coming week. Confirm your place. Please contact the museum no later than the June 26th. All if you show up, they'll probably let you in. But they want you to pay to hear this. So anyway, ring them up, and the number, we'll get you the number in just a second. But the summer camps are also running at the History Museum Tuesday through Friday. This is going to be in July. And so if you want to have history going through your kid's brain, here's one for you. Learning history through music. Folk tales, legends, and myths of El Paso. Mission trails and conquest. The history of inventions. From prisms to film. Acting out. And all this stuff. And then there's another whole set for a little older children. So if you want to get your kid in a camp, the El Paso Museum of History is a really good place to take your kid down to the camp. And Melissa, do you have a phone number on those? Oh, there it is. 212-3163. And you get Jamie Nodler, 212-3163. And I just talked about the gunfighters walking around downtown up here pretty quick.
I think Bernie's going to call in about that later.
Well,
on.
He's going to be in on it, right?
Yeah.
We need to hear from the horse's mouth,
yeah,
so to speak.
Well, no.
Go ahead. This is your husband we're talking.
That's why I can say these things
authoritatively. You walked away from it.
I know.
What?
Nothing. I have nothing.
You're not going to read anything?
No, I have a cup of coffee, so that's why I'm happy.
Heck with you. We're going to talk space.
Hey, I didn't get my cup of coffee.
Well, space being what it is, there's a lot of it. And to land it on the ground here and look at it, they've got that in a museum there in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
It's a cool place to go.
The New Mexico Museum of Space History.
That's correct.
I got that
you got
right.
It right this yes. time.
Yeah, Chris. Yay. The director is looking me over saying, yeah, you got that one right. Director Chris.
Trust me, I screw it up on occasion too.
Chris Orwell. Well, it just causes a conversation.
Yep.
You know, which is okay.
Yeah.
But you're talking Alamogordo up on the side of the mountain. If you ever drove by and saw that big, cool building up there with a bunch of rockets sitting around it, go up there.
Yep. So, yeah.
Goodness gracious.
It's kind of neat because we're 400 feet up above where the town is, up on the hill up there. So, and have a commanding view of the entire base.
Oh, it's
and, you
great.
Know, and on a clear day, you can see all the way down to here.
Yeah.
Really can.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, so, and then the museum itself, you know, it's all glass. on the outside, so, and it's kind of got a gold tint to it.
At sunset,
when the sun has just gone down below the horizon over the mountains over the San Andres, that museum is just absolutely gorgeous because it just glimmers on the side of the mountain.
It looks like something out of a space movie.
Yeah.
Every day
you do this.
Oh, yeah. So watching sunrises and sunsets up there, really beautiful.
You have some great exhibits on the inside, but you also have some stuff on the outside.
And
I took the grandkids, and they had such a blast on the outside. Well, they liked all the exhibits on the inside where you could try, you know, like space outfits on and
space
such.
Space suits on, stand in a transporter.
But
yep.
You had just started working on the Daisy Decelerator, am I correct?
The Daisy, we call the Daisy Track, and
but it's also the Daisy Decelerator,
it was a deceleration track. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Has that been completed?
Oh yeah, yeah. That was a while back.
Was it
That was completed. So, I mean, we've done some recent work moving artifacts around inside the building, but it's a recreation of the building that was out there on Holloman Air Force Base, where most people or a lot of people know about the high speed test track out there where they do the rocket sled. So
you got a piece of that sled track, don't you?
Yeah, well, yes, of the rocket sled, and then but the Daisy Track, we have the entire rig, including all of the equipment that actually launched the sleds. You know,
it's pretty impressive.
A little bit different. You didn't use rockets on this one; it was actually air powered, gigantic tanks, compressors filled up, and essentially it was like a Daisy air rifle.
That's what it was named for, wasn't it?
Exactly. That's exactly it. It was named for the Daisy air rifle because, like a Daisy air rifle, where you pump it up and you shoot a BB out. Here, you pumped it up and then you launched a sled down the track, sometimes with equipment on it. Sometimes animal testing was done at that point in time.
Yes,
so back then, you know, there was some animal testing done on it, but there was human testing done on it quite a bit. You know, Captain Eli Beating pulled 83 G's.
Is that the one where you see the guy's cheeks black to his ear?
Yes.
And he was just blowing.
There's many shots that show that.
Oh, my God.
So there's a lot of them.
His cheeks were wrapped around his ears.
In his situation, he wasn't supposed to pull that many G's. It was an accident, actually.
Oops.
The system got overpressurized, and he got launched down and pulled that many G's. Thankfully and blessedly, he was facing backwards in the seat. Not that he was reverse facing, but the seat was a backwards seat test, so he wasn't facing forward.
Oh my gosh.
Because if he'd been facing forward, he would have been killed.
Oh yeah, that would just pushed him right through.
Because he's facing backwards, he was able to survive it. So, but yeah, they did testing. Also, you know, we were talking about the Apollo program. Tested all the Apollo seats and harnesses and spacesuits in the harnesses out there on that track as well.
What about the escape system?
The escape system was not tested on the track.
Not on the track.
But the escape system was tested out. Yeah, White Sands Missile.
Oh, I see. You're talking just the track had Apollo stuff on it?
Yeah, the track. They tested, so they put the seats that the crew members were going to be on inside the capsule.
A G is a G, right?
Yeah, a G is a G. Yeah. So, and launched them down. I mean, they had all sorts of things to test. They actually had swings that they would pull back and then let them go and slam it into a pole with a person sitting on it. They had a little thing called the bopper sled, which essentially was just something you pulled back on a rubber band and slammed it into the other side. You know, so they had different.
They had volunteers for this?
Oh, they had tons of them. You got extra
for
that.
You had extra pay. You had to figure out what they were going to be going through.
You survived it, you got extra pay.
You got hazardous duty pay.
You have
the
widow get the pay.
Hey, Private Nelson, come on over here. We got a job for you.
Human deaths on the track.
Just sit here. Close your eyes.
But the Daisy Track is one of the things. You know, just one of the outside exhibits there. We have an astronaut memorial garden that's in tribute to the astronauts who we've lost in space. And then we have the rocket park as well. And soon we'll have our first aircraft. There as well, because we're going to start displaying certain types of aircraft out there as well. And we're bringing over a German Tornado aircraft, one of the jets that that they've flown around here for ages.
Yeah. Can you get that 747 that used to pack in and out the shuttles?
Oh, God, yeah. No, those actually are already taken.
They are.
Gorgeous display at Johnson Space Center if you ever get a chance to get out there and see it.
You've got some good stuff. Didn't I see an Apollo capsule somewhere in one of your pictures?
We've got multiples, the one that's most obvious is the one that's literally right in front of the museum. Yeah. It's what's called a boilerplate capsule. So built to the same shape and weight as one of the real capsules that they would fly. But this one was utilized for training for the Navy, especially, and the Air Force folks. Who were doing recovery. And pulling it out of the water and recovering it, finding it, get the astronauts out, etc. So we use that. So we've also got another boilerplate capsule on the top of our Little Joe rocket. that's out there.
You know, the Little Joe was the one they tested the escape systems,
bingo,
right?
Bingo, yeah.
Explain that.
White Sands Missile Range, you know, so during the Apollo program, the first launches of the Apollo program, once again, were not at Kennedy Space Center, here in this region. So, and it was up in New Mexico at the Missile Range. And what they were doing is they got a rocket that was built that would essentially mimic the initial launch phases of the Saturn V rocket, had the same diameter, and then they could put a capsule up on the top of it with the escape system, that tower that stuck up, and it had the tower had solid rocket motors on the inside of it. And if something was happening either on the launch pad or during that launch phase, something catastrophic with the rocket, something that would, you know, otherwise cause the whole rocket and the capsule to explode, et cetera, that they would ignite those rockets on the top and it would pull the capsule away from the Saturn V rocket and pull it to a safe distance away, and then that escape tower would detach, and then the capsule would parachute down to Earth. But so they did those Little Joe 2 launches here in New Mexico, where they launched it off, and it was supposed to be kind of get it up there and then just pull it away. Well, one of the launches, the rocket actually exploded during the launch phase, and so they got a real live test of that escape system.
But there were no people on that.
No, it was all test equipment on the inside. Yep. So
White Sands Missile Range has been testing stuff forever, and that's still actually technically an Army post, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's an Army post. Yeah,
it's not a base of any kind. The word is post.
Well, exactly. The Army uses the word post. Yeah. But White Sands Missile Range is an Army facility, but they've got people from the Navy and the Air Force, tons of them out there. In fact, they have what they call desert ship.
Yeah, the ship is out there.
Yeah. So, and it's not really a ship, but
it just looks kind of like it.
It's the superstructure kind of thing set up. But there's a Navy contingent on the base. There's Air Force contingents, big ones.
Private contractors are out there.
Private contractors, et cetera. There is testing going on out there all the time, virtually all of it classified.
Amazon, what's his?
Bezos.
He is jet, the was it Bezos? Yeah, it was Bezos' rocket that he had, the second. Or was that Tesla? I can't remember.
Well, it depends on what you're talking about.
No, I was looking for the chamber, the rocket that lifted off the pad but set itself back down when first.
You've got multiple things. None of those launches, SpaceX, where they have the Dragon rocket, the Dragon capsule on the Falcon rocket. So the Falcon rockets are the ones that they're lifting off now, and goes up into space and they bring the first stage back down. And then you've got Blue Origin. That's operating here out of Texas,
right.
And they're launching up with the New Shepard. Yeah, so the New Shepard.
But one of the motors was tested White Sands, because I did see that on TV.
White Sands Test Facility.
Yes,
they're testing the motors out.
Explain this, if you would. How come in the old days they said you had to go to somewhere like Cape Canaveral, closer to the equator, is what I remember. And they did Cape Canaveral because the recovery area would be in water.
Water, yep.
And so that was the difference in launching them at White Sands. Or anywhere. Is there a big deal now of launching stuff into space from other locations?
Once again, if you're talking about, where you're not dropping something back down to Earth, so you can do that anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, if you're talking about a New Shepard flight, where you're just kind of going up in a suborbital flight and then coming back down and landing at the pad, they're doing that out here, out of Texas.
But if you're dropping huge boosters on cities.
Huge boosters. You don't want those dropping. No. You don't want to launch out of New Mexico and drop it on Dallas. And the closer to the equator that you get, the more that you're using the rotational speed of the Earth to assist the rocket.
That's
launch.
What it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now the rockets are getting so big and powerful you can launch them out of California. Apparently.
The Russians launch them from fairly northern locations.
Oh yeah,
that's
amazing
too. In Kazakhstan,
too.
and then they're building a newer rocket. Okay. They
now
another rocket place up north.
Are you Chris Orwell, director of the museum in Alamogordo? Are you now ready to sign up for the Space Force?
It's going to be a military Space Force, so yeah. Oh. No, I'm retired from the military.
You're done with that?
Yeah.
Well, considering
they're not bringing me back in.
You were a submarine commander.
I did launch two missiles on board of a ballistic missile submarine, not in anger. It was test missiles. But I have been on board a submarine where we did launch two missiles, and that is quite an experience.
Oh,
what happened? Does it shake the ship?
Just barely. It's kind of interesting. You would think that because you're launching this, tens of thousands of pounds or hundreds of thousands of pounds rocket out of the submarine, and then you refill that tube almost instantaneously with water that you would have, the submarine would change depth or something like that. We didn't change depth at all. You do have a very large kind of thump as the rocket launches off, and you can hear the missile tube generators and everything. Because the way one of those is launched off is not like a conventional rocket where the engine lights off and it goes off. Yeah. If the engine lights off inside that missile tube, it's a bad day. You know, we're all dead, you know, instantaneously.
All the missiles will launch.
Yeah, so what happens is right next to the rocket or the missile tube, there's actually a little thing called a rocket tube generator. And in any case, or missile tube generator, excuse me. So it's got a little rocket engine in it with a water jacket around it. And so that little engine lights off, and it's got a tube that goes to the bottom of the rocket. So the hatch opens up. You equalize the pressure across the little seal that's up at the top of it. And then that missile tube generator lights off. The water jacket comes down. Steam expands. When it, you know, the water turns to steam, it expands, comes up to the bottom of the rocket, and it's just like a pop gun.
Yeah, it pops
the cork, the missile, and as soon as the missile leaves the bottom there where it's sitting, it blows that little cover at the top of it, and the missile just kind of goes up in that bubble, you know, up to the surface.
Here comes seawater.
As soon as it starts to decelerate after it leaves the surface of the water, that's when the rocket motors light off.
Oh, my gosh.
And
that's
then the
amazing.
Tube fills up with seawater.
Yeah, almost instantaneously.
And life goes on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you've just launched something big, and you don't know where it's going.
Well, yeah. We know where it's going.
Oh, you guys did know where it was going.
So, yeah, you can.
Oh, I figured somebody else was in charge of that.
Well, no.
They are. Somebody else is in charge. They will give you a target package to launch on, and you launch that target package. But, yeah, you can determine what's in that package.
Because you're both tracking it, correct?
This is more space
you're not
history.
Tracking it, no.
Well, I mean, you should be able to see it, though, I would think, with your...
You can figure it out based on the coordinates.
This is more space history than I thought we were going to get into.
Yeah, this is cool.
This is crazy stuff. Yeah.
Well, right, he's in a different type of space. That was liquid space.
That was under space. Yeah, Chris R. Wallace here. He's the director of that museum we're talking about in New Mexico where they do space things.
Spacey things.
Yeah, we do.
We call it the new museum in New Mexico where they do space things.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's it. And he's in charge of that in Alamogordo. But we're going to keep talking about this stuff. We just simply have to take a break right now.
Okay.
Are you ready? And also, Facebook, is anybody messing with us on Facebook? Wait, I got to read this one guy here. He says, Richard Janasek, I was there the day they opened, and it was an amazing place. And they even had a parade.
Yep. Yeah, they did.
So and this guy was there.
Had a parade. Yeah, so it's interesting to hear all those stories. When we had our 40th anniversary, we had a lot of people come up and tell us their stories about it. And we put items from that parade on display. So
interesting.
It was a lot of fun.
We're talking more about that museum. We're going to get inside the museum maybe second hour. We've got another segment to go here, right? Call us up if you think you need to.
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-5876. KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15-minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real-life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Download the app or text EASY to 484848. Text EASY to 484848 to try Babbel for free. That's EASY to 484848.
Buffet the Italian way. Now at Cece's, for a limited time, try new Italian flatbread pizzas, Caesar salad, and lemon creme bars. Plus, get all your favorites on the buffet. When you crave more for less, Cece's. Restrictions apply.
It's Saturday, June 23rd, the first weekend of summer. What's new today on the iHeartRadio app?
iHeartRadio.
Get that summer vibe with real fun beach radio. Perfect for giving you that bubble toes, beachy feeling all summer long. Check out our rock party playlist when you want to live loud and play hard at your summer house party. Or the best yacht rock playlist on the planet when you want to enjoy smooth sailing all summer. It's all new and waiting for you today.
iHeartRadio.
All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all free.
Fees vary based on your effort. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in El Paso?
If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the El Paso area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. El Paso is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, text your five-digit zip code to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your five-digit zip code to 82,000. Text in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. Just text your zip code to 82,000.
Of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We'll be back talking history here. We're talking about the Space Museum in New Mexico at Alamogordo. And there's a lot going on there that's connected to everybody in the region has a hand in that one. And we have the director here this morning, Chris Orwall, and we've stirred up a caller, 544-5876, got us Roberto on the air. Good morning, sir. Roberto's on the air.
Hey, Roberto.
There he is.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. Back in 69-70, when I was in high school, they had a summer program for, when we were on vacation. And they hired a bunch of us to go there and do maintenance on the housing for the military. And we worked there all summer, and they used to fire those Saturn rockets up on the side of the mountain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you remember?
Go ahead.
And it's like a big chimney and a hole, and we could see the flames and the smoke. And that's about as close as I got to the space program.
That's pretty close.
That's close enough, huh?
I remember as a kid seeing some of those things in the late 50s, early 60s, and I'd be coming home from school 3 or 4 in the afternoon. There'd be a contrail, but it would be a vapor trail going straight up. It was over in New Mexico, and it certainly wasn't a local airplane.
Yeah. So I can still hear those things. They were very loud. The whole ground would shake.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Interesting.
Thank you for giving me this time.
Yes, sir. No problem. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for sharing,
and
Roberto.
Listening.
There's an awful lot going on out there that people are involved in. And if you want to learn about the history of space in the area, this is the place to go. It's in Alamogordo, New Mexico. It's stuck up on the side of the mountain. Whoever decided to do that, that was a good idea.
That was Dr. Stapp.
Yeah, Stapp.
So, yeah, he was really
What was the origin of this whole thing? As a Hall of Honor.
It was part economic development. You know, folks from the town, folks from the military, folks from space history in the region all kind of got together and wanted to do it to honor, you know, folks who had been involved with the worldwide push for space exploration.
And so the state put that building up?
As well as exploration, as well as, you know, kind of economic development. And it got proposed up to the state, and the state said, yeah, this is a great idea. There were a few other state museums at that point in time that are part of the Department of Cultural Affairs. And so that's how it came into existence. And the state really funded getting it started. And still, we are still one of the 8 state museums that are part of the Department of Cultural Affairs.
You got Farm and Ranch. Farm and Ranch is another one in our area.
Yep, Farm and Ranch over there in Las Cruces. You got the National Hispanic Cultural Center and the Natural History Museum in Albuquerque. And then you got the Indian Arts and Culture and the International Fine Arts Museum and the History Museum and Art Museum up in Santa Fe.
So we got the southern ones. You got the one in Alamogordo.
Yep.
Hey, there's another museum in Alamogordo, but it's interesting. It's more general Tularosa Basin history.
The Tularosa Basin Historical
We're going to get
Society.
Those guys
right,
in here
yeah,
at
right
some
across
point.
From the zoo. Great
they're
little
great.
Great,
yeah.
great
if you
museum.
Have a recommendation on who we should call, get us somebody.
I'll shoot you that name.
We'll put them on here in the meantime. Yep. We're going to take a break here and come back next hour and talk more about this stuff, because the space history that we talked about so far is kind of external to the museum itself. What's in this museum
it's amazing.
Is the next thing we're going to get into.
Oh,
and
fun.
Also, you're going to talk about that. Oh, we did talk about your Daisy thing, right? the Daisy Decelerator.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was
That's cool.
That was a very bizarre thing.
Well, I remember seeing all the films they used to show of them testing that thing.
Oh,
it was just amazing. Well,
now, when they shot that thing off, the brakes was putting it into water, wasn't it?
Well, it's sort of, yes. It had a very large chunk of metal down at the end, and it had water inside of it, and then there were holes in it, and the more holes that you closed off, the harder the stop was at the end, the faster the deceleration.
So it was a physical water thing.
It was what's called a water brake, yeah. So as opposed to the rocket sled at the high-speed test track, where they could fill the center portion of the track between the rails with water, and there were scoops on the bottom of the sled.
Well, let's stop it. Okay.
And it stopped it.
Chris Orwall's here. Next hour, we'll be back doing this again. And thank you to the control room. Bill Toll,
thank you
very much.
Yay.
Cindy Milazzo.
Yay,
see you
Cindy.
Guys after the news.
Yay.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso. KTSM.